In today's Mishnahs, we'll learn the 10th and 11th Mishnah from the 9th Perek of Masechta Sota. And we continue learning about historically how, when certain practices became widespread or certain historical events occurred, it impacted on the practice of the various halachas. And this is expressed sometimes in certain instances with the decline of the Jewish people, as we explained in the previous Mishnah. So let's learn. Now, Mishnah Yubi. It says, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, in times of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he did a few things. First, Hevir Hodayat HaMaaser. We mentioned previously that in the 4th and 7th year, just before Pesach, we had to do what's called Vidui Maaser. We have to make a confession that everything's been given. All our Trumas and Maaserot have been given, all the tithes and the like have been given to their rightful owners, meaning the people who are meant to receive them. However, in the time of Ezra, when they came back from Babel, the Levim didn't come along with him. And so therefore he placed a knas, he placed a fine on them that the Maaser Rishon that normally goes to Levim were not given to Levim and given directly to the Kohanim instead. Consequently, no one would be able to say anymore in the part of the Vidui Maaser, Vagam Netativ LeLevi, that I've given it to the Levi, because based on this knas, no one is doing that anyway. So therefore, that brought an end to the Vidui Maaser. Next, Afhu, also Yochanan Kohen Gadol, what else did he do? He's Bitul HaMa'orim. Put an end to the Ma'orim. What are the Ma'orim? That is when they used to do the Shir ala Korban. We used to sing, the Levim used to sing Shir. When the Prakim Tehillim, or the Kapitel used to say, part of it was Ura Lama Tishan Hashem, which is awaken Hashem, why are you sleeping? So Yochanan Gadol reflects and he says, one second, Hashem doesn't sleep. We've got a explicit other pasuk from another Prakim Tehillim that says, Hinei Eloheinu v'lo Ishan Shomei Israel, that Hashem doesn't sleep or slumber. So what's the intention of that pasuk, Ura Lama Tishan? That's referring to Anam Israel in a time of Tsar, if we're in Galut, in a time of difficulty, and it's a period what's called Hester Panim, where Hashem's involvement is actually more concealed. So therefore, is as if Hashem is sleeping. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol said, actually, yes, that's the meaning of the pasuk, so therefore it's not relevant to say in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when Am Israel are in Eretz Israel, and it's really not a time of Hester Panim at all. So therefore he put an end to them singing that Tehillim that said, Ura Lama Tishan Hashem. Let's continue. It's also he put an end to the Nokvim. What were the Nokvim? When they were offering Korban on the base of Migdash, the difficulty was in terms of how to overcome this animal, to bring it down, tie it up, and actually shecht it. So what they would do, if it was this calf, they'd hit it between the eyes, it's between the horns, and the blood would fall between its eyes and confuse the animal, and then to be able to overpower it. However, Yochanan Kohen Gadol says, it looks like you're inflicting a blemish by making this animal a bal mum. And he would say to them, it appears that maybe you've punctured or made a perforation in the moach, in the membrane over the brain, and this is a bal mum, so that we have to put an end to the practice. So what did he do instead? Instead, he placed these rings towards the north of the Mizbeach that would be able to hold down the animal when they were shechting, when they're slaughtering the animal. Let's continue. Ad Yamav, until his time, Patish Makeh B'Yerushalayim. This is referring to the time during Chol HaMoed. So during Chol HaMoed, which is intervening days between the first and last days of the Yontav, one's actually not allowed to do any melacha. The exemption to that is what's called Devar HaAved. In other words, one would be able to do work, provided that it was preventing a loss. In other words, not allowed to do work to increase profits, but preventing a loss, he is able to do. So what would happen? In Yerushalayim, the people would be working. In other words, based on that heter. In certain, if you like factories or workshops, they'd be banging hammers. And Yochanan Kohen Gadol said, despite the fact they're doing it in a permissible way, the sound is reverberating through Yerushalayim, and it's creating what's called Zilzul Yontov, it's degrading Yontov, therefore you put an end to it. It says, no hammer can be banged in Yerushalayim during Chol HaMoed. And this continue, Ubi Yamam, during this time, Enon Strich L'Shol HaDamai. During this time, people wouldn't have to ask about Damai. What does this mean? So this takes us back to almost the beginning of our learning together, one of the first few Masechtas in Shas, in Zrayim. And if you remember, normally what someone has to do when they get produce from the field, they have to first separate from a gdola, the first between 140 and 160th, depending on how generous a person is or stingy, and that would go to the Kohen. The next, we'd have to separate the first tithe, which is called Maaser Rishon. That would be given to the Levi. The Levi would then take a tenth of that tenth, which is called Trumat Maaser, and give that effectively now 1%, to the Kohen, and they could keep the remainder. Now, the second tithe also has to be separated. In the first, second, fourth, and fifth year, that would be taken to Shalayim by the owners, and they would eat it there. And in the third and sixth year, that would be given to the Anim as Maaser Ani. Now, when someone's purchasing food from a shopkeeper, The shopkeeper has to sell it with everything tithed. It's not allowed to sell tevil. So if someone is trusted to a Mesa Masra, yes, they would purchase off them quite happily. If someone's not necessarily trusted, it would be a disincentive to purchase from them. Why? Because ultimately, when they bring it home, they'd have to lose around 20% of what they just purchased. However, in times of Kohen Gadol, he went around to Israel and found that everyone was separating Truma Gadola, the first 1/50. The rest of it, for someone who's not trusted in Truma Samasrot, is really a suffix, a doubt. So what he said is, what someone has to do is, yes, they'd have to say, take off the first Maisa tenth, and the Trumas Maisa, I mean that 1%, so the tenth of the tenth, they'd have to separate and give to a Kohen out of suffix, because a non-Kohen is not allowed to eat it. The remainder of Maisa Rishon is only what's called the property of a Levi. There's nothing wrong with a non-Levi eating it. Consequently, anytime there's a financial dispute, we have the principle what's called Hamotzi Mechavaro Alavaraya, that the burden of proof is placed on the person trying to extract the funds from the other individual. So since this is the case of a Safek, the person will be able to keep it. Similarly, with Maisa Sheni, there's very little loss to the person because he can simply take Yerushalayim when he goes there and eat it there. Three times a year we go to Yerushalayim. And if it's Maisa Ani, once again, meaning if it's the third and sixth year, the burden of proof is on the Ani to take it from him, to say that the Dama Aretz hadn't separated from a Samasra. So consequently, after he implemented this Takana of Demai, that when you purchase from someone who's not trusted with Trumas HaMasrot, really the person not losing very much. So therefore, that's what it says, Ein Adam Tzarich Lishol Al Demai, meaning once we had the concept of Demai, there wasn't any incentive, people could simply purchase happily and then do the Hafrasha in this case of Safek, but when it, as it relates to Demai. Let's now learn Mishnah Yud Aleph. Mishnah begins, Mishabat La Sanhedrin. Once the Sanhedrin in Hagadol Yerushalayim ceased in Beit Sheni, so it was closed up, it says, Batel Hashir Bebeit HaMishtaot. So in example is in wedding halls, they stop Shir, they stop singing. Shenemar, it says, Beshir Lo Yishtu Yayin. How do we know this got to do with the Sanhedrin? That's based on a pasuk in Eicha that says, Zekeni Mishar Shavtu Bechorim Neginatam. Which means when the elders are sitting by the gates, when they're sitting by the Sanhedrin, that's when they would play music at wedding halls. So therefore, once the Sanhedrin was ceased, they stopped playing music. Here Kati cites the Tosaf Yontov, who explains that it was the Shira, the songs, the subject of the song was really about love between Adam ben Adam l'chavero, or had other themes to it. However, as he explains here, that if it was Shira for Tish B'chot that referred to the Chesed of Hashem, then the minhag of Kol Yisrael was to actually say them even Beit Chatonah in wedding halls and other simcha events. Those are the Mishnah today.